Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. My co-host today, Butch Paul, Pastor Butch Paul, is sitting in for Dave Allen today, and we're going to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. It is Wednesday, July 29th, 2020, and of course, we have Wendy Wilson joining us. Just as soon as I do the market report. So let's go ahead and get started on that. You know, the Fed had a two-day meeting, and when the numbers were, or their statements were released, I don't know if it was 2:30, gold popped $17, and it was had a high of $1,982. It came back, but we're still at 1970 for the day.
Wow.
1970. And I... Hold on a second. Greg Hunter, I think, thinks I meant today. Let me... Okay, so I just needed to text him real quick. We're trying to get Greg Hunter on for you listeners, so... Silver today had the same kind of a day. It popped over 25 briefly after that announcement was made. $24.35. Platinum was down $21 at $937. Palladium was down $150 at $2,245. The U.S. dollar was down 0.42 at 93.32. And crude oil was up 21 at 41.25. And, of course, the paper markets, they shot up a couple 100 points after the announcement. And we'll talk later after the first break what that announcement was that they talked about, or what the Fed Chair Jerome Powell had stated. The Dow was up 162 points, not a whole lot. I mean, it went up, but they didn't get a four or 500 point day on it. 26,542. The NASDAQ up 140 at 10,542. The S&P was up 40 at 3,258. The 10-year yield, 0.58%. Gold in the futures contract is 1960. And that's pretty much it that we can discuss on the financial news until the second segment of the program today, because we always enjoy having Wendy Wilson join us from Apothecary Herbs. And I'd like to say hello, Wendy.
Hello, Melody, and hello, Pastor Butch.
Hello, Wendy. It's good to hear from you.
Well, always good to be with you both. I thought we'd talk about some risk perception, especially from some of the experts, over our fear with this pandemic. I think it'll be very interesting and revealing, actually, because epidemic of fear that's kind of happening all over the world, you may be perceiving it as a conditional event. So, for example, did you know in 2014 and 15 that Ebola outbreak that quickly became a fear pandemic, in which, you know, 11 people were treated? The media ran the stories about a West African man coming to America and infecting people, spreading the disease, and then he died. Now, the media at the time nicknamed it the Fearbola outbreak. So I think this could be, we're in tests, in steps, in stages, and maybe you'll see what I mean in just a minute. So at the time of the Ebola scare, psychologists were really concerned about Americans that were over-fearful about the disease. So let me read you this quote from a professor, Paul Slavik. He's with the University of Oregon Decision Research, Human Judgment and Decision-Making area. He says, "The minute the Ebola threat was communicated, it hit all the hot buttons. It was fatal, it was invisible, and it was hard to protect yourself against." Does that sound familiar? That's what they've been saying about the COVID
Absolutely.
Thing, that it's, you know, an invisible enemy.
Absolutely.
And a lot of people are dying. He goes on to say, it's not clear that the authorities are in control of the situation. We also heard that as well. So what Dr. Slavik is saying is true, even with the COVID outbreak. It's not hard to see the Ebola scare may have been a dry run for COVID, but on a smaller scale. Now, Dr. Slavik is one of the many that study human behavior and what buttons to push to instill fear and behavioral outcomes in people. So the researchers know how the masses will perceive a risk and what it will take to make them overreact to an epidemic and obey liberty-robbing directives. So with the COVID-19 scare, we have been kind of played like a violin. And yes, the virus is real, but the threat risk, the life threat risk, has been over-exaggerated and misrepresented, misreported, and it's making the virus that's pretty much the equivalent, according to physicians and virologists, the equivalent of a common influenza seem more like a plague thousands times worse, like the Spanish flu of 1918. Okay, so I'm going to get to some doctor quotes here in a minute, too. So have you seen the video up on some of the alternative news? It was on social media, and they took it down. A bunch of doctors in Texas, over a dozen of them, came out and said that they've been treating COVID patients with common therapeutics, very inexpensive ones. There's no risk of death, and nobody's died. Hundreds of patients they've treated. So we do have a lot of cases, but we have few cases that run us into the hospital, okay, is what we're being told now. So the doctors that are treating the sick with COVID are speaking up, and the protocols that they were told to implement by the government health officials were the wrong ones, and that there's a safe and effective therapeutic medication available that prevents death. So the physicians are now saying there's no fear of death, the social distancing and the wearing of the masks really not necessary. And when medical doctors discovered that those that get sick are the ones that are low in zinc, that's why they added the zinc sulfate to the hydroxychloroquine. So if the public was aware that an inexpensive medicine was available and the fear and panic would dissolve, it would go away, and people would reject the directives, you know, stay at home, can't open your store, and all these other things. Therefore, you want to keep in mind the panic. They want to keep all the panic alive and keep the people in obedient distress. And the public and physicians were told by government health agencies, there's no cure and we have to wait for the vaccine. That is a willful lie, as evidenced by scientific research itself that appeared in the National Library of Medicine Institute of Health Report Journal in November 2019, in which it said that zinc inhibits coronavirus and its RNA polymerase activity. They went on to say that though zinc blocks the virus from replicating and corrupting the human cells, protecting them from getting sick. They know that. Any questions?
No.
All right. Well, for those of your listeners that are on your American Survival newsletter, they're going to get hot links to the physicians that stood up and gave this report. And so look for that in your upcoming newsletter. And also they'll get a link on the test, the COVID-19 tests that are fraudulent. And that was a report by Dr. Tim O'Shea. So he's going to be also in a link that he'll explain in very easy to understand terms why about 4 to 6 of these tests they're using for COVID are, they're not there to confirm the virus at all. The tests don't do that. So you have to wonder why then are they using it? Well, maybe we're in a test phase. So, and let's ask the question, why wear the masks? Why were the masks made a requirement when health experts, even Fauci, Dr. Fauci, said they weren't necessary in the beginning? Well, it was brought into as a layer of misplaced reaction. So the fear and the stigmatization and the shunning that people would receive in their daily activities if they didn't wear a mask. So the last thing people want during a perceived crisis is a new set of problems. And how many people out there have said to themselves, I'll wear the mask because I don't want to put up the looks in any confrontation if I don't wear one. So the health officials know that the kind of mask that people are wearing won't keep the virus in or out. It's kind of like trying to keep a mosquito out of a chain-link fence, okay? And so ask yourself, why aren't we wearing masks then during a regular flu season? Well, it's because you don't perceive the regular flu to be a huge threat. But a new virus, on the other hand, is a different story. Here's a quote from the American Psychological Association. It was printed March 2015. Take a gander at this one. They say novel threats provoke anxiety in people. Different and exotic threats like Ebola, avian, and SARS-CoV raise anxieties higher. They therefore push different psychological buttons. Psychologists have studied people to know that how they perceive a risk and what causes them to overreact to epidemics or even terrorist attacks. So when people perceive their personal risk to be overwhelming, such as fatal, invisible enemy, hard to protect against, that is when they are the most vulnerable and easily controlled. End of quote. I'm appalled. Wow. All right, so you think millions are going to take this vaccine. What's your input? Do you think they're going to do it?
I think they probably will, because of fear. I really do. And I'll be playing a clip on my program tonight talking to a doctor of Georgia who's warned against it, and the reasons why are really, really scary.
But it is. It's very bad. Mm-hmm.
It's beyond, I think, what people comprehend, even on the spiritual realm. It's beyond that.
Right. It's pure evil, basically. Your RNA vaccines are there to corrupt your DNA. Definitely bad.
So you quit being human.
Right. Well, there is a speculation on whether people are going to volunteer and just go ahead and go along with it and get the COVID vaccine. That only has been made in a few months, when normally it takes 5 years to make a vaccine. Well, I truly believe, like you, Pastor Butch, that a majority will get the vaccine because of their perception and their fear of this novel virus.
Yes.
So you know what? I've talked to a lot of people, and a lot of them aren't getting it.
Well,
and
good.
I'm not talking about, you know, just conservatives.
Mm-hmm.
I've talked.
Well, maybe they're working.
I ask everybody when that topic comes up, and
well,
it's interesting because I'm surprised.
Well, here's something that appeared in the journal Vaccine in 2011. They said it's the sense of immediate risk that will lead people to take even a risky preventative measure in the face of a contagion, real or imagined. We learned following the 2009 H1N1 influenza pandemic by looking at the research of the reasons for the people's reaction if they did or didn't get the vaccine. The meta-analysis showed that it was the perception of personal risk that was the most influential factor in whether a person got the vaccine. Second influencing factor was social pressure, and the third was their past behavior, such as they normally get flu shots. So, and you know, when you frame the debate, you win the debate. So to convince people to get a vaccine is about framing the risk and inciting the panic. So this is not about transparency, honest communication, or evidence-based science regarding a vaccine. This is supposed that, you know, they're telling you is supposed to protect you. If it were honest and communication and transparency and evidence-based, there would be no need to underhandedly manipulate people in this way. Here's a quote from, this is interesting, this is from Dr. Baruch Fischhoff, a psychologist. He's the chair for the FDA Risk Advisory Committee, also on the chair of the Environmental Protection Agency Homeland Security Advisory Committee. He says this: governments have a tough job of explaining risk and telling people how to act without seeding alarm regarding vaccines. And he goes on to say, disaster researchers know that brave behavior is not the norm. So these arrogant people that are instigating what is really medical tyranny don't think the masses are going to stand up and say no, because that's typically not the norm when you're afraid. Also, Barbara Reynolds, she's a psychologist with the director with the Division of Public Affairs for the CDC. She says modern communication allows people to have more intimate experience with threat that is not real. And it's also hard to ask parents to take an action to protect against a risk that's invisible to them.
That's true. And may I make a comment here, Wendy, if you don't mind?
Uh-huh.
I agree with what Melody said. A lot of people say they're not going to do it. But if they're scared enough, or if it's made mandatory, I know Bill Gates wants to make it mandatory before you can travel.
Well, there's not only before you, not even before you travel, but if you go to the hospital, if you go to your doctor,
there you
they
go.
Will automatically give it to you. If you need surgery, they'll automatically give it to you.
Well, go a step higher. You won't get one. You won't get your driver's license. You won't get your life insurance. Yeah. You won't get your medical insurance without
buying or selling. No buying or selling.
What's that? What's that work out to? I agree.
Yeah,
that's what comes down to.
The mark
and
of
now,
the beast is... The mark of the beast, it's very narcissistic to make something that's supposed to help you and protect you become the mark of the beast, but that's the devil's M.O.
Well, it is. Absolutely it is. But the medicine you mentioned, the hydroxychloroline, I believe it is, with zinc, is that available? Is that available now?
It is available. President Trump, that's why he went to India. India makes it. And so he was able to get India to ship them a lot of supply.
That may be something that's worth having on hand for other reasons, even.
Well, and by the way, now, the researchers monitor social media, and especially Twitter, to see what people are thinking about pandemics. And this came out of the Lancet Journal, October 2015. So they know when health agencies communicate and about the uncertainties about an epidemic, and that the vaccine compliance rate will increase. So the more fear that's out there, and when your health authorities say it's uncertain, this novel virus is uncertain, when they say that, they know the compliance rate increases for people getting vaccinated.
Sure.
Also, you want to look for reports that they're going to downplay hand washing is old school and inadequate against the virus, and it won't protect you, but... the famous virologist Johan Gazik out of Sweden says that's the first thing you do. Hand washing is one of the basic things you want to do.
That's common sense.
And he also said this virus was just a flu bug, and it's just been a draconian experience to see what countries are doing with it.
I had a gentleman who was in Mexico mention that the mask mark. People are following rules and wearing a mask for nothing. They think it's good, but they're just following rules, that's all.
Well, and thing is, you know, they're doing also infographics. It has to do with stimulating a section of your brain. So if you've seen drug companies with TV commercials that look like cartoons to introduce a drug to you, it's because they know they get more response that way when they give you medical information through eighth grade level kind of thing. So they know all about this. So I say, people, don't panic. Just get prepared. God's promised in Psalms 91 to protect you. He's offered herbs for the healing of the nations and the service of man to protect you. And God can't lie. See?
True.
He can't lie. So if you don't want to get the vaccine, that's fine. Plus, you know, for those that are forced into it against their will, we have a way to reverse it. So give us a call at Apothecary Herbs.
Oh, really?
229-3663. 866-229-3663. We're having a moving sale through August, and it'll save you 25%. Thepowerherbs.com. Talk soon.
Thanks, Wendy. We'll be right back. Please stay tuned. Everybody wants to.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk Radio. TalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188. It's 1-800-375-4188. Again, we had a great day in gold today, and it just seems to continue to climb. Of course, with all this additional stimulus, I guess the stimulus before didn't motivate people that much, but yeah, we did see it, and we're seeing it again. And what the Fed said and what Wall Street liked and also what gold liked is after the two-day meeting they had, the Federal Reserve repeated a pledge to use its full range of tools to support the economy for just as long as it takes to recover from the fallout of the pandemic. And they said it maintained its interest rate target range until it is confident the economy has weathered the virus and is on track to achieve its maximum employment and price stability goals. Well, you know what? How many trillions would they... Well, the last time they were 7-point-something trillion. They have to be more than that now. And yesterday we talked about one of the Fed presidents who said that, hey, you're looking at a year and a half to 2 years. So that sort of pretty much made the, you know, the promise from the Federal Reserve, we'll take care of you. We'll make sure you don't collapse until it's ready. We'll take care of you and send you what you need to keep the markets functioning. So there you have it. So if the markets need the money to function, why would you want to have your money there? You know,
it's
kind of like knowing that you're buying a car and you know the engine doesn't run. So why would you buy it? It's kind of like
it's cheap.
The same
you see,
thing.
It's cheap. It's cheap. You always buy it and then hope it gets better.
Oh,
my goodness.
So, and you know, I did a little bit of a comparison today on my $20 gold pieces. I was just curious to see in 2 days what they did versus the spot price of gold. Now, they haven't done, I mean, you might think it doesn't seem like a lot, but this is just the beginning of the situation. And this is why you buy the pre-33 $20 gold pieces. And I just want to do real quick to make sure my number is correct. Let me just see here. I was doing it during the break. Gold has gone up $30 from the 27th to today. That's spot gold. The Mint State 62 $20 Liberty gold pieces have gone up $70. So 30 versus 70. That's a nice spread.
It is.
And when we had to weather all of those down years when the pre-33s were basically just, you know, trading at 25-year lows, nobody wanted them. But they'll start, they're buying them now. And that's why they're higher. That's why they went up more. That's why they went up 70 instead of 30. Because this is what people are beginning to buy. And they're getting, and again, just like everything else, it's getting hard to find. And product will disappear. We need to have a couple days, a couple drops in the stock market of 1,000 or more points. Product's going to be gone. You know, we talked yesterday about the U.S. Mint. They're only going to produce one or the other, of the silver or the gold. They're not going to produce them at the same time. And to protect all the employees. So that's their excuse. But so again, there's people buying, but there's a lot sitting on the fence because everybody just saw the stock market go up today over 100 points, but they didn't pay attention to gold. And
well, you know, Melody, and now they're probably, it'll come back down again. I'll wait to get down to 800 again. I think they're holding their breath in the wrong direction. It'll fluctuate some, no doubt about it. And how much, I don't know. But it'll never come down to the levels it started out with just a year or two ago. Never again. It's going to climb and keep climbing. It may be in incremental stages, of course. It may come down $30 tomorrow and go up 50 next week. I mean, you don't know this. But the longer they wait to buy it, the more chances there are that it's going to get higher every day. And now's the time to purchase what you can afford to purchase while you can, both gold and silver. Get what you can. As you said before, silver is kind of a poor man's protection, I guess you could say. That's what I put some money into over the years. And I have a little bit of gold, too, because I want that as a hedge. But now's the time to act, folks. Don't wait, hoping it'll come back down. It may fluctuate a little bit, but it'll never come down what it was when I first bought the first piece of gold back in the 90s at $2.50 an ounce. You'll never see that again. Ever, ever, ever. And if the dollar collapses to nothing, everything falls apart, and you say, well, what's gold going to do then? Gold and silver, no matter how bad the economy gets, gold and silver is still recognizable as something of value that can be bartered with if necessary. Melly, that's another thing you might want to think about in the near future when this all goes to the Fed coin, whatever. Bartering could be an option, and it always is in nations where they don't have the right money to do it with. People barter. They trade something for something else. And gold and silver, they'll always be a bartering tool because people will use it, keep it, knowing that one day it's going to be worth more again. So this is, to me, it's common sense. I don't understand a lot of people's reasoning, but to me, it's common sense.
Well, black markets are created during the distressful times.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. I mean, we've seen it before. I remember I've shared this story hundreds of times, so this is going to make it 101. You know, the oil embargo in the 70s, if you paid with, you know, the pre-33 coins, you got a discount.
Remember gas. 10 cents a gallon if you had a silver dime in Charleston back when gas was like $1.50 a gallon where it was. For 10 cents, you buy a gallon of gas.
Yep.
Absolutely.
And I heard somebody, one of my customers told me during the Great Recession of 2008, somebody, I think it was either Washington or Oregon, that they did the same thing. There was discounts.
Absolutely.
So,
it
happens. Those stories aren't shared, but business people, and it upsets me when people hear these things about, well, who's going to buy the coin? And I'm talking about the pre-33 coins. Do you know how many times other paper sellers, you don't want those. Who's going to want to pay that high price during times of... Are you kidding me? Everybody will want your gold. I don't care what it is. I don't care if it's the most rare coin in the world that's valued at, you know, $1 billion. Well, your pre-33 coins that are selling thousands of dollars over your bullion coin. It's not going to be hard to find buyers. When you have a system that's collapsing, your monetary system, and a new one is being developed, are you kidding me?
Well, remember in Venezuela when people could buy, I think it was a week's worth of groceries for a dollar if they had silver?
Mm-hmm.
You remember that? So,
yes.
Folks, a silver dollar may buy you enough food to last 4 or 5 days in the future. I don't want to see it happen, but it could happen.
You know, so, again, and it's, you know, people are now you're beginning to see a lot of the same comments and you know, theories and so forth, and people get into this little bit of panic. No panic has begun yet. There's no panic until the stock market crashes. The dollar could go to zero, and if the stock market is at 30,000, people aren't going to panic. Maybe if they can't eat, they might. But it's kind of ridiculous, but it is what it is.
Well, you know, an article like Sherbrooke, the panic will come, like you said, when the food stomachs get empty. Mm-hmm. And people right now that can't pay the rent are panicking. They're going to be kicked out. And when this stimulus package runs out, and I'm going to share very quickly a bit about that, what's going to happen then? And it's going to run out sooner or later. They may kick another one in at a lesser degree, perhaps. But eventually, it will come to an end. It has to. Or they'll keep putting it out there, Melody, to the dollar's worth nothing, so it makes no difference whether you have it or not. It's not going to buy anything. That could happen also.
Yep.
But it says almost half of all jobs lost during pandemic may be gone permanently. Now, I want to share that because I think it's important. The COVID-19 outbreak has clearly done a number on the U.S. economy, plunging it deep into a recession and sending unemployment levels skyrocketing. In fact, jobless claims reached a record high in April, and while things have improved slightly in May and June, new restrictions could send the unemployment rate even higher in the coming months. Unfortunately, rising joblessness could coincide with the end of the $600 weekly unemployment boost that has been keeping millions of Americans afloat these past few months. That $1,600 boost, which March CARES Act provided for, expires at the end of July, but because of the way states paid their unemployment benefits on a weekly cycle, for most jobless folks, it actually is already gone. Meanwhile, lawmakers are gearing up to present a new stimulus package to provide ongoing relief during the COVID-19 crisis and extended unemployment is a big part of it. But a continuation of $600 boost is unlikely to happen. In fact, Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin has already come out and said that the boosted unemployment will, going forward, amount to more like $108, $310 per week. So why not extend the full $600? Lawmakers say it's a deterrent for workers to return their job, since with it, some out-of-work Americans make more money on unemployment than they do in an employment capacity. Another argument against that boost is that the jobless claims we're seeing right now represent a temporary problem, and that's likely to go away once the COVID-19 outbreak wanes or an effective vaccine made widely available. Of course, everyone wants the current unemployment crisis to be temporary, but new data reveals that a frightening number of jobless Americans may not, in fact, have a role to return to once the pandemic ends. In April, 70% of those whom the households experiencing job loss felt that the situation will be temporary. But now 47% think the job loss is likely to be permanent, according to the Associated Press. All told, roughly 10 million workers might need to find a new employer as the pandemic wraps up, and some might need to switch gears and find a new profession altogether. Now, this economic suffering is not even across the country. It seems like the rural areas, like where I live, are not suffering much as, we'll say, the cities like New York and Los Angeles. I mean, unemployment in New York's like over 20%, and Los Angeles is up, you know, it's a little bit higher than that, I think like 28, almost 30%. But restaurants and leisure businesses like hospitality businesses and whatever are seeing unemployment at almost 30%, 20.9%. So this is not an even breakout, so to speak. Some businesses suffer more than others. And if the jobs are going long enough, even if the restaurants are shut temporarily and they call back for a little bit, a few employees, if they can't make ends meet, they will shut permanently, which means there'll be no jobs there at all. And Melody, in our area, I know of at least two businesses that are out of business forever. One of them I really enjoyed was Shoney's Restaurant because they had a nice buffet, had good fish on it. But these are jobs that are going forever. So, yeah, half of them think they lost a job for good. I don't care whether it lasts another 6 months or another 18 months or if it never ends, which I don't think it will. If 50% of them are out of work forever, that's going to add a pretty good burden on the population, isn't it?
Well, it certainly is, and, you know, it's just not little people either. Here you have Nike,
no.
And people think that manufacturing is going to come back and so forth. Nike, they're winding down operations at a facility in Goodyear, Arizona, marking an abrupt turnabout for a project meant to become a state-of-the-art plant for its Nike Air shoe line. The company acquired the property in 2019, and I remember talking about it, and set about turning it into the third so-called air manufacturing innovation facility in the U.S. The U.S., $184 million investment was expected to generate more than 500 full-time jobs. He says they are experiencing an unprecedented times, and due to the COVID-19 impact, we will no longer be investing in our Goodyear facility. We are repositioning our resources to further invest against our biggest opportunities and the air manufacturing innovation facility will continue to be in part, or their air shoes. I don't even know what their nicknames are for all those silly sneakers they make. But but the move isn't the only cost-cutting right now at Nike, which is coping with sluggish demand from brick-and-mortar stores, many which had been shuttered. So they don't have the demand. This is a domino effect. The company announced job cuts that will cost at $200 million to $250 million as part of the push to sell more merchandise directly to consumers. So it's all going online. Those shuttered stores are not coming back. That Goodyear facility, history. You know, they bought it for $70 million. I can remember when we talked about this story, it was about all the subsidies they were getting. And, and I remember talking to a customer in that area. They were excited about it. Jobs. No. Jobs aren't coming back. Manufacturing's not coming back. It's all image building and everything else that they do. Jeez, Luigi, just like Kodak. Yesterday we talked about Kodak. Their paper went up 400% on that announcement from the White House. 400%. And they're not making pharmaceuticals, Butch. I think they're just making the ingredients.
That's it, make the ingredients, right, yes.
So where does it go after you make the ingredients? To China? So they can put it together and send it back to us?
Good well, we would hope not, wouldn't we? We would hope not.
Well, nobody else manufactures any pharmaceuticals here in this country. So where would they go?
Very good point. Very good point.
So I don't know. It's just... well, you can't make this stuff up, Butch.
No, you can't. We're getting ready to go to break. I know that, too. Probably have to wait after the break to share this, but GE is hit by steep decline in jet engine business, and Boeing has said it was going to cut further production of commercial jets. And speaking of somebody who just flew, when we flew from Pittsburgh to Philadelphia, the flight was nearly empty, but from Philadelphia to San Diego it was pretty much full, and come back in to Chicago pretty much full, but from Chicago to Pittsburgh again about half full. So the airlines are not recovered all the way yet, not even nearly all the way. The airports are actually spooky empty. So I understand why they're not making more jets. I understand why GE's hurting because they're not producing jet engines. There's no business. The airlines are cutting back. Boeing and Airbus are cutting back on production and jobs because there's no orders.
Yep. The supply chain is broken. So
that's right.
We'll be back in just a few minutes. Thank you for listening to Financial Survival.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
All right, folks, we are back. Melody had to take care of some business real quickly, so I told her I'd be glad to try to fill in the rest of 20 minutes of this podcast if I could. But let me urge you again to please call Melody. Please don't put off what you can do. If you can't do a lot, don't worry about it. Do what you can. Just use some common sense and seeing what's happening here, folks. Call her up at 800-375-4188. 800-375-4188. She's the most straightforward, honest dealer that I've ever dealt with. And I know that from personal experience when dealing with other people. Back to more news I want to share with you. China has quietly cut dollar usage in cross-border trade by 20%. What's that mean? That means that the dollar is losing its hegemony. It's no longer as effective once was as a world currency. But it says the chorus calling for a weaker dollar is getting louder and now includes none other than a stark warning from China, from Goldman Sachs, which is a stunning shot across the bow of the modern monetary system, warned overnight that U.S. monetary and fiscal policy, i.e. helicopter money, a.k.a. MMT, is triggering currency debasement fears, and that for the first time, real concerns are emerging about the future dollar as a reserve currency. Folks, giving away money like we have been cuts the value of the dollar worldwide, not just here. Indeed, as Yi adds, China is already quietly reducing its reliance on the dollar in cross-border trade and services. The percentage of the payments and receipts denominated in yuan is total FX transactions by banks, where the clients increased by 37% in June from 19% 2 years ago. So with the Bloomberg status also calculated that the use of the dollar has declined 56% from 70%, a decline of 20%. Now, folks, this is serious for the dollar. If the dollar loses its value worldwide and nobody wants to use it any longer, what are we going to do with them? Our cost of goods, imported goods, we've been getting so cheaply for so long, will go through the roof. Inflation will eat us alive. Of course, that'll mean that the value of gold and silver will skyrocket based on the dollar. So, there you go. Another reason to look into that. Hertz has to sell 182,000 cars by 2021. Folks, that's just a few months away. 2 months after filing for bankruptcy protection, Hertz finally has a plan in place to attempt to stay afloat until 2021. To appease lenders and maintain future business, it will unload nearly 200,000 of the manufacturer's total leased cars, numbering under 500,000. The long-awaited bulk sale of 182,521 cars will take place over this course of the rest of the year, with a deadline set for December 31st in order to fund an agreed $650 million in other lease-related debts. The number is a step up from the 144,000 car shedding Hertz had planned last month, but it leaves the company with a large enough fleet to maintain a viable business when it emerges from bankruptcy into a world that will hopefully involve enough routine travel for rental cars to be a viable business enterprise. The deal was a direct result of a more positive used car market than the one Hertz had previously faced when it announced its filing in May. The market will allow the rental giant to recoup more of its losses than it had previously expected, which seems to have been a sticking point for lenders approving the deal. Of course, they have also went on to say that the glut of these cars going into the market will also cause the price of the used cars to come down because there will be so many of them. It's a catch-22 situation. You kind of dang if you do and dang if you don't, these things. That's just what it is. And when the economy is based on nothing but hot air, fiat currencies and hot air and digits on a computer, there is no foundation to build a solid economic future on. Now, folks, I'm talking from Bible experience and Bible knowledge. There's a curse given on unjust weights and measures. There's a curse by God Almighty on unjust weights and measures, and the United States has had an unjust weight and measure as their money system since 1964. Think about that. There's a curse on that. And unfortunately, we're living to see it. And even more unfortunately, our children are going to pay a lot more price for this stupidity than we are. Especially if the Fed gets its way and brings in a Fed coin. Our life, as we even know it now, and it's been changed much over the last few months, but as we even know it now, will change so drastically that we probably won't even recognize what's going to be. Starbucks shares jump as investors shrug off coffee chain's loss and hope first the pandemic is behind it. Starbucks still been building stores, but they lost $3.1 billion over the last few months. But they're still opening new stores. Opening one in a little town near me called Summersville, West Virginia, a little Starbucks. I would not shop at Starbucks. I will not give them my business. I will not do it because of the attitude against Christianity. I'm not making it up. This is true. I will not pay the money they want for a cup of coffee, for goodness sake. It's insane. But nonetheless, Starbucks lost over $3 billion. Now, still wanting to grow. I guess I can give them kudos for that. That you're not giving up. That's, I suppose, a wonderful thing. But I will not patronize Starbucks. Never have. Never will. After some comments they made about Christians and what it boils down to. Spike in gold puts dollar's reserve status in question, Goldman Sachs says. Here we go again with the dollar losing its world value. A record high price for gold, known as a currency of last resort, is raising questions about the U.S. dollar's future as a world reserve currency, according to a Goldman Sachs research note published Tuesday. The commodity, which tends to see increased demand during economic uncertainty, reached an unprecedented price of $1,943 and announced this week. Now, folks, we already know it's 1970 today. In part because of record low interest rates, the Goldman Sachs analysts said may demonstrate a stronger appetite for inflation at the Federal Reserve. Combined with a record level of debt accumulation by the U.S. government, real concerns around the longevity of the U.S. dollar as reserve currency have started to emerge. The idea that the dollar may one day be seen as less of a safe currency jeopardizes its role as a world reserve currency, a position that has given the U.S. financial system a tremendous advantage in global financial markets for decades. Gold is safe as a safe commodity because it is a limited supply and considered to have inherent value, which means fears of inflation or other economic turbulence like the coronavirus recession could drive up demand. Goldman Sachs increased its 12-month forecast for the price of gold from $2,000 to $2,300 an ounce. And I'd say that's low from my opinion. Seeing how the Fed has already said, they're not going to be manufacturing the coins as they had before, which would mean the product will get scarcer, both gold and silver. So not only will prices go up because of instability in the markets and in finances, it'll go up because of scarcity. Remember the old rule of supply and demand? Remember when there was a time you could have a glut of too much something and the price would come down, but it was scarce, the prices went up? That hasn't changed. That hasn't changed. That rule is unchangeable. They may be able to temporarily sway some things on it, but it's unchangeable. I thought this next article is kind of telling. Spare a dime? U.S. Mint asked public to spend coins. U.S. Mint is asking if you can spare a dime. As the coronavirus pandemic continues to impact the health of the country and also the economy, the government is facing a coin shortage. Because of the pandemic, more people in the United States have been using credit cards and cashless payment options, resulting in a debt dearth of quarters, dimes, nickels, and pennies. Simply put, there's an adequate amount of coins in the economy, but the slowed pace of circulation has meant that sufficient quantities of coins are sometimes not readily available where needed. You may be experiencing this in your local communities, the Mint said in a statement last week. Well, obviously that's true. People do. I know I have rolls of coins I've been put together and saved, put them back. I mean, done them for years. Don't have a lot saved up, but that's what I do with them. I keep selling both automobiles. I keep loose change in automobiles for car washes or change the drive through, whatever you do with them. But when the coins, could these coins actually go in value because they're coming scarcer? I don't know. But as long as the mint doesn't mint new coins or slow production way down, you can bet it's going to make a difference in the businesses. And if what I've been told comes about also, when the ones and the fives dollar bills go away, it's going to make an even more of a huge change in the economy. And that's been talked about for a while, but now it looks like it could be coming on maybe this year. If they go to the Fed coin, cash will be put to uses, won't it? Who cares? You won't need it. You have an EBI coming in through the Federal Reserve every month. Why should you worry about money? You know what the sad part of this, folks? Most people, I shouldn't say that, but a lot of people will be thrilled to see this happen. That means that they'll have a guaranteed money coming in every month, no matter what happens. EBI will be coming in. So to further their welfare-minded status, they'll be tickled pink to have this to happen. America has become a lazy nation on a large scale because of the welfare system that we started putting back in place back in the 1930s under Roosevelt. I know people don't want to hear that, but also, I've been doing a teaching this weekend in Bible study on the Mark the Beast and what it's all about. I'll be doing something tonight on our radio broadcast. A lot of the way that we have been deceived in accepting these ideas of easy living and obedience to man, so that we'll obey right into the beast system, is through handouts. We love them because they're handouts. We get them without having to work for them. Who doesn't have a dream about that? The basic human nature says, man, I like the idea of getting paid to do nothing. So we've been welfare right into the beast system. Think about that, folks. This is all Bible. Jeremiah 17:5, Nehemiah chapter 9, Proverbs 23. It's all through there. Now back to another article. Sweden defeated the coronavirus without a lockdown. Now, companies are reaping the benefits. Now, folks, listen to this. Sweden did not lock down. Progressive critics of the Trump administration's response to the coronavirus pandemic like to point to Sweden and portray the Nordic country's decision to forego lockdowns as a travesty motivated by greed. Such reductive black and white interpretations are inevitably the result of a childlike analysis where every hero needs to have a hero and a villain. But although Sweden's COVID-19 czar has admitted that he would have changed certain elements of the country's response if he could go back in time, the country's decision to skip lockdowns and keep the country relatively open has paid off. Even if Sweden does have a significantly higher mortality rate than its neighbors, though still lower than all the worst hit Western European countries, they're prospering. They didn't have a knee-jerk reaction to this pandemic. And I don't think that we had a knee-jerk reaction. I think we had a planned reaction to this pandemic. I think most nations, but I live in America, I think America had a planned reaction to this, to do exactly what they wanted to do, to bring this nation to its knees financially, to instill fear in the people, so they will start wearing the mask mark, and go from there into the mark itself. In the next broadcast, you'll be hearing a doctor out of Georgia sharing that her testimony in tears of what this could mean. It's about 20 minutes long tonight. You don't want to miss that. We've also been playing it this week in Bible study. We'll have a DVD of it available. If you can't watch it online or can't get that, we'll have a DVD of it sent to you, along with about a 5-minute statement on the mask and how it is used to control us also. Folks, this is not happening by accident. This is a planned scenario. Planned scenario. The Tennessee governor shoots down Dr. Burke's call to shut down bars in the state during the joint press conference and tells his residents, we won't close the economy again. Bless his heart. Tennessee Governor Republican Bill Lee told Dr. Deborah Burke that we're not going to close restaurants. We're not going to close this. We're not going to enforce wearing a mask as measures to reverse the coronavirus outbreak. We're not going to play this game again. We're not going to do it again. If the local cities want to do this, that's their call. We say, I'm not going to put out a call to shut down businesses again, restaurants or bars, anything else. We're going to let it run, do business as usual. It's like they did in South Dakota, folks, under a great woman governor out there who kept the state open, and their death rate is no higher than anywhere else, probably lower than most. But they didn't shut down businesses to the detriment of the people where there's no hope for recovery. And if you think there's going to be hope for recovery after what all you've seen, then I don't want to tell you. I just don't know, because there's no way I can explain it except to say that we have been duped into a destructive mode, a destructive mindset that most people are falling right in the groove and falling right along. And if you don't follow the rules, you're soon going to be disliked by a lot of people. My brother, his name is Richard, I call him Dick, went into a Harbor Freight store the other day. He won't wear a mask. And the clerk asked him, "Want one?" He said, "No, I won't wear it." Somebody called him a bad word. And he told the guy where to get off, so to speak, in a polite way. He said, you are being used and you don't even know it. The guy walked away. It's coming to a fact, the point that one day you probably will be persecuted, prosecuted, whatever, because you won't comply. It's getting so bad in some places, folks, because of the hate and the anguish and the fear. The Minneapolis neighborhoods are launching watch groups and build barricades around the communities to protect them from the rioters and what's coming down the pike. Folks, we're going into a time in this country that we never had before in the history of this nation. I pray that this doesn't come to this, but I sincerely sense in my spirit that November is going to be a nasty, nasty, nasty month. The residents of these little towns said that I hesitate to call the police. Say if you call the police, they just come by and watch it happen. They don't do anything about it. This is America today. This America you live in. You better protect yourself. Better call Melody when you can at 800-375-4188. And don't wait. I will see you tomorrow afternoon with Melody again at 4 o'clock p.m. Eastern. Have a great evening. Bye-bye.
Pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? Still, there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad.